Ça a appris quelque chose de la COVID-19, c'est qu'une petite peut se propager rapidement. Si on y a plusieurs à se faire vacciner.
She asked me if I'm a sexologist. I said, not very often. Yes.
Yes, but no, yes. In one way.
But she knows both. She knew, she was very like into this kind of literature. She's like a feminine woman. Yeah, she knows the right. They're both writers. Let me know.
Turn it on right now.
Oh, thank you.
It's three right now?
Yeah.
You start with the sing the left hand.
Yeah, I think. Good idea.
Thank you.
you just come back. Halloween. I'm going to Halloween. I'm going to tell them that it's a radio experiment and that we are going to talk and share, etc. That they don't know, but they feel comfortable with me, and I'm not.
Because we're being emailed all the. You can also say it's a local broadcast, like by radio. It's a little like every.
Whatever you.
Look at who is there. I get it. The question is that the problem is that I am really asking intimate questions. They really share that with me. Do you want a palm reading?
Yeah. Right place?
Yeah, follow.
She's coming.
It's happening now, no? Are you part of it right now? You're reading the part?
Yeah.
Oh, it's just there.
Do you want to have a cigarette?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's fine.
Yeah, we are not allowed to be on the street anymore. How are you?
I'm good, yeah. Well, I just like going up all the time. But I'm good.
Do you come by bike or walking? It's a really nice biking.
Yeah, it's a nice bike. Yeah. After that, there's a
event, discussion, and a show. On that in mind. So.
Today?
Not tonight.
If you want to come, it's going to be.
Sure. I don't know for how we will stay. I would be fit to go.
Yeah.
Oh. Did I hear well or I'm confusing things? But I understood that. What is the name? Famous gallery. struggle that you have been doing.
There's nothing
new.
Nothing new really, but they're starting the construction.
Okay.
And there was people also living. They've been in hundreds of problems. So I don't know. I also fear that there's going to be something. There's going to be people. I don't know.
Yeah. energy of forgiveness. And let the right hand bring the energy of in the how minority. Yeah, she talked about this objectification and appropriation, colonization, that you result in things like that. For example, look at this. Yeah, think about it. All together, just the parts that you want. Important.
La, 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 la,
give me.
Thank you. When I was a child, it was clear to me living if we know love. I wish I could testify that I came to this awareness of the love I felt in my life. But love's absence of mattered. I was father's first daughter. I was looked upon with loving kindness. I feel wanted on this earth and in my home. To this day, I can't remember when that feeling of being loved left me. I know that one day those who had initially loved turned away. The absence of their recognition and regard pierced my heart and left me with the feel of brokenheartedness so profound I was spellbound. And this overwhelmed me. I didn't know what I had done wrong, and nothing I tried made it right. No other connection. First abandonment, that first banishment from love's paradise. For years I lived my life the future. A wounded child wanted to turn back time and be in that paradise again. Moment of remembered rapture, loved, bright longing. We can never go back. I know that now. We can go forward. We can find the heart, the love our hearts long for. But not until we let grief about the love we lost long ago when we were little and had no voice to speak the heart's longing. All the years I thought of searching for love, I found retrospectively to be years I was lost to return the first home, to get back the rapture of first love. I was not really ready to be loved or to love in the present. I was still mourning, clear the broken heart of girlhood to broken. When that mourning ceased, I was able to love again. I awakened in my trance state and was stunned to find that the world I was living in, world present, was no longer open to love.
The first love lesson to you, I will love you always. In the Song of Solomon, there is a passage that reads, him whom my soul loves, I held him and would not let him go, to holding on to the rapture of recognition, where we face one another as we really are, stripped of artifice and pretense, naked and not a fist. When I was a child, it was clear life was not worth living if we did not know love. I wish to find that came to this awareness because of the love of my life. But it was the absence that let me know how my love mattered. I was first taught. The moment of my birth, I was looked on with loving kindness and made to feel wanted on this earth and in my home. I remember when that love left me. I just know that one younger precious, who had initially loved me well, they their recognition and regard pierced my heart and left me with a feeling of goodness, so I was spellbound. Grief and sadness overwhelmed me. I did not know what I had done wrong. Nothing I tried made it right. No other connection healed the hurt that first abandoned love's paradise. Life suspended, trapped, unable to move into the future. Under child, I just want time and be in that paradise again. In that moment of remembered rapture, paradise where again. I felt love. In that where moment of remembered rapture, where I felt loved, where I felt a sense of belonging. Go back. I know that now. We can never go back. I know that now. We can go but forward. Not until we can find the love our hearts about long the love for. Long. But not until long we ago. Let go grief when we about the love we had no lost long ago. Longing. When we were little and had no voice to speak, the hearts I thought longing. I was searching. All the years of my life, I thought I was searching for love. I found I was retrospectively trying to recover what had been lost. Where I was to return trying to recover what had been lost. To return to the first home. I was not to get back the rapture of first love. Love I was not still really ready to love mourning, or be loved to the broken the present heart. I was still mourning, clinging to the broken heart of girlhood, see to broken able connections to love again. When that morning I awake my trance able to love was again. Done to the world I was living I awakened from my trance state and was done no to find the world I was to love the world of and the I noticed present that was no longer I heard testimony to love lovelessness and I noticed had become that the order of the day me. I heard testimony I that feel lovelessness had become the order of the day I as feel our nation turning away from love girlhood. As intensely turning as away I feel love's abandonment in my girlhood to wilderness of spirit so turning intense, away we risk moving into never wilderness find our of home spirit again. So intense of, we may never love find our way home again movement. I write of love to bear witness for both to the danger of love smoke movement and to call for a return to love return redeemed us to the promise of everlasting life love returns us to the promise of everlasting life. When we love, we can let our hearts speak.
Chapter 1. Clarity. Love
Chapter
words.
1.
Clarity. Give love
As
words.
A society, we are embarrassed quote, by love.
As a society, it
we are embarrassed by love.
We treat it as if it were an obscenity. We reluctantly admit to it. Even saying the word makes us stumble and blush. Passion love is the most important thing in our lives. And
passion
yet,
for which
we're reluctant
we fight
over
or die.
Without, and yet, we're reluctant
a
to
supple
linger
vocabulary.
Over its names.
Talk
without a supple
directly.
Vocabulary.
End quote.
We can't Ackerman. Even talk or think about it directly. End quote. Diane Ackerman. The men in life have always been folks who are aware of using the word. The men in my life have always been the folks
they
who are wary
they
of using the word love
too much
lightly.
Of
and they are wary
they know
because they believe
that
we
think
too love
much of love
is not always
and
right.
They
know that what we
think
love means
is
not always what they believe it means.
When we use the word love,
our confusion about what we mean
in love.
When we use the word love,
if our
is the source of our difficulty in loving. If
love,
our society
the act
had a commonly held understanding
not
of the
so
meaning of love, the act of loving would
dictionary
not be
so
of love
mystifying.
Tend to emphasize romantic love.
Dictionary
defining
definitions
love first
of love
formal, tend to emphasize romantic love. Defining love first and foremost
for another
profoundly tender, passionate
sexual
affection
attraction.
For another person.
Of course,
especially when
other definitions
sexual
attraction.
One may have such.
Of course,
feel
other
like
definitions
sexual.
Let the reader know.
One may have such feelings with
however,
context
it
is
not
really
sexual.
Adequately describe
however,
love's meaning.
Deep affection
that's
is not really
adequately describe love's meaning.
Of love,
hard
the vast
to
majority
avoid
of books in the subject of love work hard to avoid giving
Diane
clear
Ackerman,
definitions.
A natural history of love.
In the introduction to Diane
she declares,
Ackerman,
love
a natural history of love.
Intangible.
She declares,
love
is the great intangible. A few sentences down from this, she suggests,
everyone admits that
agree
love
on what
is wonderful and necessary.
Coyly, she
yet
adds,
no one can agree on what
we
it is.
We use love,
coyly, she adds,
that it can mean almost
we use the word
absolutely.
Love in such a sloppy way that it can mean
ever
almost appear
nothing
or absolutely
everything.
No definition ever appears in her book, ever
yet
anyone
she's not
trying
alone
to
learn the art of love
ways that cloud
yet
she's not alone
in the very meaning
love
of the word
ways that cloud our understanding mystery.
It should not
on the very
come
meaning
as a
of the word
people find it hard
mystery.
To define what they
it should not come as a surprise that most people find it hard to define what they mean when
much
they use
easier.
The word love.
Imagine how much easier it would be for us to learn how to love.
The word love began is often defined as a noun.
Yet the word love is most often defined as a noun.
Yet all the we more all astute theorists of love acknowledge that
we would all love better if we used it as a verb.
Meaningful definition of the word love.
And searching deeply for a meaningful definition of the word love.
And was deeply Peck's relieved when I found one book, in psychiatrist
Road
M. Scott
Peck's classic self-help book,
published in 1978.
The Road Less Traveled.
Echoing the work published in 1978.
Echoing the work of Eric
Will
Fromm,
to extend
he defines love as
of nurture,
the will to extend oneself for the purpose
spiritual growth,
of nurturing one's own
explaining
or another's
further,
spiritual
continues,
growth.
Love,
explaining further,
as
he continues,
is an act of
love is as love does.
Love is an act of will
and an action.
Namely,
both will
and intention implies choice.
And an action.
We do
will
not have
also
to love.
Implies choice to love.
We do not have to
since
love.
The choice must be made
choose
to nurture growth.
This definition counters
since the choice must be made to nurture growth.
That we this definition counters the more widely accepted assumption that we love
instinctually.
Everyone who has witnessed the growth process
before
of a child from the moment of birth
or the identity of
sees clearly that before language is recognized,
before the identity of caretaker is recognized,
babies respond to affection and care.
Pleasure.
Usually, as they grow older, they respond to affection
care
by giving affection.
As they grow older, they respond to affection and care by giving affection,
cooing at the sight of a welcome caretaker.
Affection is only one ingredient of love.
To truly love, we must
care,
learn to mix various
affection,
ingredients.
Recognition,
care,
commitment,
affection,
and trust.
Recognition, respect,
commitment,
open communication,
and trust.
As well as
learning
and
open communication.
Learning faulty definitions of love
when we are quite young,
we start
makes
out
it
difficult
to
be loving as we grow older. We start out committed
early
to the right path, but go in the wrong direction.
Feeling.
Most of us
when
learn
we feel
early
drawn
on
to think
them,
of love as a feeling.
We connect with them.
When we feel
that
deeply
is,
drawn to someone,
feelings or
we connect with them.
That is,
process
we invest
of
feelings or emotions
or
in them. That process of investment, wherein a loved one becomes
his
important
book,
to us, is called
cathesis.
In his book, Peck rightly emphasizes that most of us confuse
how
connecting with individuals feeling connected
we all know
to
how
the process
often individuals
feeling connected to someone through the process of connecting
insist
that they love the other person
since they're
even if they are hurting or neglecting
insist.
Them.
They insist
since
what they
feeling
feel
that
love.
Connects, they insist that what
when
they
we understand
feel is
the love.
The will
when
to
we understand love.
And
as
another spiritual
the
growth
to nurture
it becomes
our own.
Clear
and another
that we cannot
spiritual
claim
growth,
to love if
it becomes clear
that we cannot claim
love
to love
and abuse
if we are hurtful
exist.
And
abusive
love and
abuse
neglect
cannot
are
coexist.
By definition
the
abuse and neglect are
by
definition
the
opposite
of a man
of nurturing children
and, care.
And wife and then
often we hear of a man who beats his children and wife and then goes to the corner bar
them.
And passionately proclaims
how much
day.
He loves them.
If you talk to the wife
despite
on a good
his
day,
violence,
she may also
say
he
loves her,
despite his
violence.
Function of families.
An overwhelming majority of us come from dysfunctional families
in which we were taught
we were not okay,
where we were shamed
and emotionally
verbally
neglected
and or
even
physically abused
and emotionally neglected,
even
believe
as
we were loved.
We're also taught to believe
for most
that
folks
we were
it
loved.
Is just too threatening to embrace a death.
Love.
For most folks,
no longer
it is just too threatening to embrace a definition of love
families.
That would no longer enable
too
us
many
to see love as present in our families.
Too many of us need to cling to a notion of love that either makes abuse acceptable
bad.
Or at least makes it seem that whatever
raised in a family in which
not
aggressive
that
shaming and verbal humiliation
raised in a family in which aggressive shaming and verbal humiliation
coexisted
to embrace
lots
of dysfunction
care.
I had
since
difficulty
I
embracing the term dysfunctional
parents and siblings.
Since
proud
I felt
all
and still feel
attached
to my
parents and
siblings,
life,
proud of all the positive dimensions
of
our family life,
our life
I did not want to describe us by using
negative
the term
or bad.
That applied our life together. Had been
I did not want
all
my parents
negative
think
or
I
bad.
I was disparaging them.
I, was
I did not want my parents
all
to
the
think
good things that they
I was
given
disparaging them. Them.
I was appreciative of
all the good things that they had given and
was able to see the term dysfunctional
with therapeutic
as a useful description.
I was able to see the term dysfunctional
negative
as a useful description and not as an absolute negative judgment.
My family of origin provided throughout my childhood a dysfunctional setting and it remains one.
This does not mean that it is not also a setting in which affection, delight, and care are present. On any day in my family of origin, I might have been giving caring attention, where am I? Being a smart girl was affirmed and encouraged. Then, hours later, I would be told that it was precisely because I thought I was so smart that I was likely to go crazy, be put in a mental institution where no one would visit me. Not surprisingly, this odd mixture of care and unkindness did not positively nurture the growth in my spirit. Applying Peck's definition of love to my childhood experience and my household of origin, I cannot honestly describe it as a loving. Pressed in therapy to describe my household of origin in terms of whether it was loving or not, I painfully admitted that I did not feel loved in our household, but that I did feel cared for. And outside my household of origin, I felt genuinely loved by individual family members, like my grandfather. This experience of genuine love, a combination of care, commitment, trust, knowledge, responsibility, and respect, nurtured my wounded spirit and enabled me to survive acts of lovelessness. I am grateful to have been raised in a family that was caring and strongly believed that had my parents been loved well by their parents, they would have given that love to their children. They gave what they had been given, care. Remember, care is a dimension of love, but simply giving care does not mean we are loving. Like many adults who are verbally and or physically abused as children, I spent a lot of my life trying to deny the bad things that had happened, trying to cling only to the memory of good and delicious moments in which I had known care. In my case, the more successful I became, the more I wanted to see speaking the truth about my childhood. Often, critics of self-help literature and recovery programs like to make it seem that far too many of us are eager to embrace the belief that our family of origin were, are, or remain dysfunctional and lacking in love. But I found that, like myself, most people, whether raised in excessively violent or abusive home or not, shy away from embracing any negative critique of our experiences. Usually, it requires some therapeutic intervention, whether through literature that teaches and enlightens us, or therapy, before many of us can even begin to critically examine childhood experiences and acknowledge the ways in which they have an impact on our adult behavior. Most of us find it difficult to accept a definition of love that says we are never loved in a context where there is abuse. Most psychologically and or physically abused children have been taught by parenting adults that love can coexist with abuse, and in extreme cases that abuse is an expression of love. This faulty thinking often shapes our adult perceptions of love. So that just as we would cling to the notion that those who hurt us as children loved us, we try to rationalize being hurt by other adults by insisting that they love us. In my case, many of the negative shaming practices I was subjected to in childhood continued in my romantic adult relationships. Initially, I did not want to accept a definition of love that would also compel me to face the possibility that I had not known love in the relationships that were most primary to me. Years of therapy and critical reflection enabled me to accept that there is no stigma attached to acknowledging a lack of love in one's primary relationships. And if one's goal is self-recovery, to be well in one's soul, honestly, and realistically, confronting lovelessness is part of the healing process. A lack of sustained love does not mean the absence of care, affection, or pleasure. In fact, my long-term romantic relationships, like the bonds in my family, have been so full of care that it would be quite easy to overlook the ongoing emotional dysfunction. In order to change the lovelessness in my primary relationships, I had to first learn anew the meaning of love, and from there learn how to be loving. Embracing a definition of love that was clear was the first step in the process. Like many who read The Road Less Traveled again and again, I am grateful to have been given a definition of love that helped me face places in my life where love was lacking. I was in my mid-20s when I first learned to understand love as the will to extend oneself for the purpose of nurturing one's own or another's spiritual growth. It still took years for me to let go of learned patterns of behavior that neglected my capacity to give and receive love. One pattern that made the practice of love especially difficult was my constantly choosing to be with men who were emotionally wounded, who were not that interested in being loving, even though they desired to be loved. I wanted to know love, but I was afraid to surrender and trust another person. I was afraid to be intimate. By choosing men who were not interested in being loving, I was able to practice giving love, but always within an unfulfilling context. Naturally, my need to receive love was not met. I got what I was accustomed to getting, care and affection, usually mingled with a degree of unkindness, neglect, and on some occasions, outright cruelty. At times, I was unkind. It took me a long time to recognize that while I wanted to know love, I was afraid to be truly intimate. Many of us choose relationships of affection and care that will never become loving because they feel safer. The demands are not as intense as loving requires. The risk is not as great. So many of us long for love but lack the courage to take risks. Even though we are obsessed with the idea of love, the truth is that most of us live relatively decent, somewhat satisfying lives, even if we often feel that love is lacking. In these relationships, we share genuine affection and or care. For most of us, that feels like enough because it's usually a lot more than we received in our families of origin. Undoubtedly, many of us are more comfortable with the notion that love can mean anything to anybody precisely because when we would define it with precision and clarity, it brings us face to face with our lacks, with terrible alienation. The truth is, far too many people in our culture do not know what love is. And this not knowing feels like a terrible secret, a lack that we have to cover up. Had I been given a clear definition of love earlier in my life, it would have not taken me so long to become a more loving person. Had I shared with others a common understanding of what it means to love, it would have been easier to create love. It is particularly distressing that so many recent books on love continue to insist that definitions of love are unnecessary and meaningless. Or worse, the author suggests love should mean something different to men than it does to women, that the sexes should respect and adapt to our inability to communicate since we do not share the same language. This type of literature is popular because it does not demand a change in fixed ways of thinking about gender roles, culture, or love. Rather than sharing strategies that would help us become more loving, it actually encourages everyone to adapt to circumstances where love is lacking. Women, more so than men, rush out to purchase this literature. We do so because collectively we are concerned about lovelessness. Since many women believe they will never know fulfilling love, they are willing to settle for strategies that help ease the pain and increase the peace, pleasure, and playfulness in existing relationships, particularly romantic ones. No vehicle in our culture exists for readers to talk back to the writers of this literature. And we do not really know if it has been truly useful, if it promotes constructive change. The fact that women, more than men, buy self-help books using our consumer dollars to keep specific books on bestseller lists is no indication that these books actually help us transform our lives. I have bought tons of self-help books. Only a very few have really made a difference in my life. This is true for many readers. The lack of an ongoing public discussion and public policy about the practice of love in our culture and in our lives means that we still look to books as a primary source of guidance and direction. Large numbers of readers embrace Peck's definition of love and are applying it to their lives in ways that are helpful and transformative. We can spread the word by evoking this definition in day-to-day conversations, not just when we talk to other adults, but in our conversations with children and teenagers. When we intervene on mystifying assumptions that love cannot be defined by offering workable, useful definitions, we are already creating a context where love can begin to flourish. Some folks have difficulty with Peck's definition of love because he uses the word spiritual. He is referring to that dimension of our core reality where mind, body, and spirit are one. An individual does not need to be a believer in a religion to embrace the idea that there is an animating principle in the self, a life force, some of us call it soul, that when nurtured, enhances our capacity to be more fully self-actualized and able to engage in communion with the world around us. To begin by always thinking of love as an action rather than a feeling is one way in which anyone using the word in this manner automatically assumes accountability and responsibility. We are often taught we have no control over our feelings. Yet, most of us accept that we choose our actions, that intention and will inform what we do. We also accept that our actions have consequences. To think of actions shaping feelings is one way we rid ourselves of conventionally accepted assumptions, such as that parents love their children, or that one simply falls in love without exercising will or choice, that there are such things as crimes of passion, i.e., he killed her because he loved her so much. If we were constantly remembering that love is as love does, we would not use the word in a manner that devalues and degrades. When we are loving, we openly and honestly responsibility, commitment, and trust. Definitions are vital starting points for the imagination.
Look at what
we cannot imagine cannot come into being. A good definition marks our starting point and lets us know where we want to end up. As we move toward our desired destination, we chart the journey, creating a map. We need a map.